Following all adulting adults,
you're tuning into the Grown Up Podcast, a show I created to talk about the struggles of the new millennium and share different perspectives in order to make sense of being a grown up. Along the way, I search for independent music, businesses, and individuals who make a way for themselves in the content creating industry via podcasts, books, blogs, vlogs, and more to show that we should support each other's ideas instead of tear them down. Tune into the podcast monthly, and don't forget to follow me to stay up on new artists, new adventures, oh yeah, and more grown-up shit. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You just turned on. Naturally on a wave. Better known as now. This is where independence is celebrated. So if you're ready to catch these waves, then let's go.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Grown Up Podcast, where you already know what we do. We talk about that grown up shit. But today, I got that Naturally on a Wave spotlight artist interview for you. And for those of you who have never heard of Naturally on a Wave or who are already coming back, thank you for supporting. But if you don't know, we basically have independent artists come through here. We talk about their experience. We shine the light on them. We create a supportive community. And today I'm so excited to have another artist, a brand new artist, join me during the segment. And so without further ado, I'm going to have him join the stage. Uncle Tino, what's going on? He is the spotlight artist. How are you?
I'm great. Chilling.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and get these tickers on here, you know what I'm saying? And this is, again, the Now segment. So let's hop right into it, you know what I'm saying? So Uncle Tino, please tell us where you're from and what genre of music you do.
I'm from Houston, Texas. I am multidisciplinary, but very hip-hop rooted.
All right. So I did my research, and my questions, of course, are going to be based off that research. So this first part, I just wanted to read to the audience because I thought it was so dope when I was doing my research and checking you out. I wanted to read a little snippet of your bio from your website. So it says, striving to provide a refreshing experience to listeners near and abroad, Uncle Tino shines in several facets of the multiverse, that is the music industry. Whether he performs with a five-piece in a biscuit band or entice the curious ear with genre-bending music, he is certain to prove himself as one of the most versatile artists of his time. So I thought that was a pretty dope bio for you, and it was pretty cool to kind of express who you are in a little, you know, snippet of that. And hopefully that brings in the audience here. So let's get started with the questions. So my first question I have for you is, your love for music started at an early age. So tell us your first memory of discovering your musical taste.
I would say it would probably be at my grandma's house, which was like my childhood home number, like 1.5. I grew up, you know, like where my parents live and everything. But, you know, when they went to work, they would take us to my grandma's house. She lived like 8 blocks away. And so there was always some kind of music on, you know, there was either Tejano on the radio or my aunt, my uncle, them being in their early 20s when I was just like a kid, you know, it would be a lot of Houston hip hop, or even then just like a lot of new metal,
yeah,
some country, you know, so And even then, it wasn't a lot of country, but, you know, I gravitated more towards, like, the Missy Elliott and the Juvenile, the David Banner, and the Wu-Tang, and Limp Bizkit, Deftones, Incubus, all that. Oops, ow. But yeah, so that's really just where it came from. There was always music on in the house, so.
Okay, so yeah, so always just vibing pretty much all the time, because those are all vibes artists, so I definitely see how that plays into the music that I hear from you today. So going into my next question here, last month's Spotlight artist found her love for music through poetry, and my research tells me you share a similar experience. So can you share your thoughts around poetry and what that means for you?
I didn't really delve into it until I was like an early teen, but when I was a kid, I always liked writing. Like when I went to school, and I was competitive. So when I was like in first grade, there was like a writing competition. It was like an Easter writing competition or whatever.
Okay.
Like, which one of these kids can write the best story or whatever?
You know? Okay.
I think I got like fourth place or something, and I was like,
okay, that's not bad.
I was like, no, I suck. I'm terrible. No. But I always like writing stories, and you know, whenever there was a writing assignment, you know, I was like, oh hell yeah, like I'm about to fucking ace it, whatever. Which kind of sucks, because in the SAT the writing doesn't matter, which in real life,
right,
you need to write more than anything.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, I roll, that's standardized testing. But and then when I was in high school, I got into, you know, creative writing. You know, I was always writing creatively for assignments and stuff like that. But I had a teacher in seventh grade who didn't lie. He was a very eccentric dude, really nice guy. His name was Mr. Spriggs, and he was it was like the first day, and you know, we're a bunch of seventh graders, we're like smart asses and shit, and this guy's like, I'm about to rock y'all's world. And we're like, what does that even mean? You know, everyone's like, don't rock my world, you know. But then like toward like as the class progressed, you know, everybody was opening up and, you know, talking about things that they've probably never talked to outside of that class, you know, or to themselves.
Yeah.
And it was a really vulnerable class. You know, there were some things where, you know, I still was like, shit, like that was kind of on the cusp of like wanting to talk about my experiences, but also not really sure what that experience is. And but we were getting really deep about stuff. And, you know, that really kind of, I guess, thrusted me into writing a little bit more privately and journaling more, and then also wanting to do it also through music, you know. And then I was always into music, and I was in a guitar class in middle school as well, I think either the same year or the year after, and I just really wanted to like integrate the two and, you know, propel that. And then in high school was when I was like, okay, like let me try and record something. And then I learned how to rig a computer where it records the audio from inside, basically.
Wow.
And yeah, it's like a weird thing. And then I just use like those little cheap little adjustable microphones.
Really?
Yeah. And then
wow.
And then I like showed somebody, and then they're like, this is good. And I was like, this is cringe. Like I just wanted to see what y'all think, but you know, like, and
random.
Yeah, hey
guys, like, random,
it's like
thing.
It's like the first thing I've ever recorded. Again, I like was like, again, like most people in a closet, but this is a really small closet, so everything is like wall to my back to shoulder, and like there's clothes on my head everywhere. So it was that's kind of how I did that. And I ended up on a creative writing team for like the last couple of years of school, and then I did poetry slams. And yeah, and then
it's really cool. It just kind of seems like you had these little experiences at a time, and they kind of just intertwined into each other eventually. And it kind of, you know, did like a pre-mold of, you know, the artist that you're turning into today. So yeah, that seems pretty cool. I like your journey so far. So originally you started down the MC path by releasing music under the name MC I Can Rhyme. Sorry, I was excited about the name. MC I Can Rhyme, which is clever and straight to the point, by the way. So tell us about how this season in your life helped shape you as the artist you are today.
First of all, second of all,
even more because I messed the name up too. So it's like,
that gave me some sort of relief because it further proves why I had to change it. But anyway, I came up with that in eighth grade. It was a joke at first because, you know, we were always doing silly things like any kid would do. And the actual full name used to be Reverend MC I Rhyme. So I was just like a reverend that would say a bunch of fake things that happened to rhyme, and it was funny and whatever, and I'd love making people laugh. So we did that for a little bit. my other younger self. And but then there came a time where, you know, I'm a very sentimental person, and I like to think loyal sometimes to a fault, but so I was really loyal to that sentiment when I was younger and all of that. So I was like, I'm gonna just keep it going, whatever, you know?
Right.
And, again, I just really recorded a bunch of things from the computer, and then there was a time, you know, I've always been, again, to a fault, a quality over quantity person. And I was like, fuck, like, even if I can't record the way I want, you know, I don't know how to mix, whatever, but this and that. And I was using, like, I don't even remember the name of the DAW that I was using to record, but it might have been like Sonar or something. But and then there was a couple others where I would just like pirate and just use to record, and I would always have to like pretend to renew it or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like that weird process.
Yeah.
And so I would always, I'll record at home with the things that you're not supposed to be recording with, aka Bagel Bites and Yoo-Hoo.
Right.
They're terrible for your vocal cords, but when you're a teenager, it's fun.
Right.
And then I just was like, you know what, you know, it doesn't have to be great. I'll just release a bunch of little freestyles here and there. I'll just find beats and just try and reach out and see who will let me use them. And nine times out of 10, I got no response. So I'm probably, 9.9 times out of 10, you know?
Yeah.
And then so I would just release anyway and, you know, work on it and get better. And then I, you know, fast forward after high school, I had a lot of fun with Vine. Vine blew out of the water because I made literally a song about shit hitting the toilet water. And and I didn't make the song. I heard the song, a little jingle, like in art class or something. And I thought it was super funny. And then I just remembered it. And then just did that to a Tom's Diner melody. And then I woke up, it had 1,000 likes, and people kept tagging people and following and tagging and whatever. And this is so funny. And I was like, what the hell? And I'm just, this is like my freshman year in college. So I stuck, as I grew that fan base, and I was able to use Vine to get people to go over to my SoundCloud. You know, I was like gaining a lot of like fans that way.
Right.
And I had way more fans on Vine than I did on SoundCloud. SoundCloud, I probably to this day still have about 2K. But from there, you know, my Spotify numbers were going up too. Like I had like 3,000 monthly listeners and a bunch of followers on Twitter. The theme of my life so far has always been, at some point, I'm going to have to start over. Because once I really started gaining that following and whatever and performing more, I'm constantly having to tell people how to spell it, what it is. And you know, and that's not bad, but also it's kind of like tedious, especially I'm like, you know, if for branding this isn't gonna go too good, and this is
right, and you want to expand your energy in different areas and
exactly,
you know, conserve here and there, and so I understand that for sure. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to my next question, which is eventually in 2018, you rebranded to Uncle Tino and have since taken off with your music. So what or who, if you can explain, do you credit for the success through this rebranding?
I would just say the community and everybody that, it sounds so head ass, but like, it's everybody that really just kind of like stayed down, you know, like.
Yeah, that's real though.
Yeah, no, it is. And even, and then again, like when I did rebrand, I was pushing it and I was telling everybody, hey, but I don't know, I guess because I've always just been like silly on the internet, people don't know when to take me serious, which is kind of like.
Makes sense. Pretty,
you know, so, and I'm like, man, fuck, why did I have to go and do that? Like,
the funny guy trying to be taken serious. It's like, yeah,
like, no, I'm for real. Like, people that know me are like, oh, like, no, he's actually serious right now.
Right, right.
And so I went on Periscope when Periscope was a thing. And then I did a name reveal. And again, this was also like in the midst of my personal transition as well. So it was also kind of like, not deading, but you know, just kind of growing into a new skin,
and yeah,
as an artist and myself, or not even as an artist, but like I also did have a little bit of like identity issues as far as like, does that mean I have to change my music, like whatever I should have back in the day, like, and so it was really difficult because I had taken everything from my MC I Can Rhyme distribution to Uncle Tino, which totally wipes all the data because I had no help. I had no team. It was just me.
Yeah.
So, but all in all, you know, like I really have to credit, you know, everybody that really stayed down. And even to this day, I had people DM me and maybe like one or two people just kind of let me know like, hey, I've been looking through my old phone for all your music. And I was looking for like 3 hours and I was like, holy shit. And I was like, I guess this really do mean something. And then at the time I was really kind of not feeling 100%. So then I got that message and it really is just like one message I can, you know, flip your whole perspective on an entire career.
100%, dude. I completely relate because I've been doing my own personal transition through the podcast, and for sure I've had the identity crisis like so many times, but I've discovered like just trying to meditate and things like that. But you know, I get it and I can understand. So I'm glad we were able to connect, and you know, I'm able to shine the light on you and your story and your music, you know, overall. So let's take a quick break from discussing your music for just a moment, and I want to acknowledge your other successes as well. So you are a graduate of the University of Houston, and as you said earlier, you got kind of Vine famous status, RIP to the Vine era. You started writing a book, and you are a majority self-taught, you know, as far as music goes. So what drives your motivation to keep reinventing yourself at different points in your life?
Just, you know, like how cool it feels to just keep doing new things, and how I guess rejuvenating it can be, because having a lack of motivation, even lately, like I'm just like, I'm not unconfident. I've always had a lot of confidence, and that's not a humble brag either. I'm just like, I've always been confident in myself, you know,
yeah,
I would say for the most part. But it's just the wanting to do stuff, you know, like feeling drained and everything, you know, and it's been kind of tough, especially with having to like, edit videos that were supposed to be edited by somebody else in 3 months, and I had to wait 8 for the footage, and then I had to do all of that on my phone, and it's that, you know. And I forgot the question. What were we talking about? Oh, my successes. But yeah, like reinventing or whatever, like it's just also the fact that, you know, you can't stay down, you can't really be stagnant, especially in a time like this where the internet rules all.
Absolutely.
And as frustrating as it can be and whatever, and you know, and having to be consistent or whatever, you know, like it's easy to lose your mind and lose yourself to this machine that's not only a phone and the internet, but you know, just what the industry is becoming.
100%.
You know, and then I feel like when I had my surgery and when I was off, I was like, you know, I should write about this because everybody, for the most part, you know, like, be like, some people have told me like, oh, you should write a book or you should do stand-up comedy. I don't know why, because I'm a mascot and I don't talk, but whatever. But, and then I was like, okay, well, I have this little book. I understand, you know, to get a good flow in anything, like as far as writing music, you know, you need to read a little bit, but you also need to keep writing. You can't stop, and no matter what it is. And so it's I'm not too deep in it yet because life did catch up, but I try to pick it up whenever I can and just write a little bit, you know, if it's like a paragraph or a sentence or a page, you know, or a chapter.
Right.
And essentially just a memoir and whatever. And then, you know, for music, it's just important to keep my hands on things and, you know, not stay stuck on one thing for too long and to just keep on moving, because I could always revisit stuff. And that's happened too. And then I recorded a couple weeks ago for the first time in like a year.
Yeah.
And and made one of like the most beautiful songs that I've ever produced and sang before. So I'm really excited for when that'll come out.
Yeah. But
I'm
excited for you.
Wait on that, yeah, but it's really, really beautiful. Yeah,
I understand. I mean, like, you know, life is just a collection of figuring it out every day and trying new things and you know, taking a break at certain times and going full throttle at other times and just knowing when to read your body, your feelings, your emotions, where you're at and stuff. So, you know, I totally get it. And but you've still accumulated all these, you know, successes. And so congratulations for all of those things, and very excited for, you know, everything else that's coming for you. So let's get back into the music. So your recent project, Moonroof Sonata, is out now on all platforms. Yes, it is a whole vibe. I listened to it. It is dope as fuck, that the audience definitely needs to check out. So what was the inspiration behind the musical choices when you were putting this together? Or was this kind of a project that was crafted like over time?
It wasn't supposed to be a project that was crafted over time. It was supposed to just be a few fan dingers, like, here you go, like, whatever, here's something for the discography, you know, now that I've, you know, matured a lot as far as, you know, my voice and I guess musically.
Right.
And then maybe not, I don't know, whatever. But like, so I found it one day again where I was just actually wasn't working at the time, and I had a day to, like, you know, not do freelance stuff like DoorDash, or I was running flyers here and there, and once I was done running flyers, I was going to get paid for it. So
right. And
I didn't have a full-time job. I was freelancing. I sat at a cafe, and I was just like, you know what, I think I should at least try to rap again, why not, you know? It's been a long time, and like a really long time. So I was just like scrolling through BeatStars and whatever, and nobody talks shit about me because BeatStars has some bangers.
And, don't talk shit about him. Yeah, I'll get on y'all.
I'll get on y'all back. I don't give a fuck. No. But like, and I found this one beat, which was Habits, and I was like, ew. I was like, this is nice. And then, it just progressively like got better as I listened to it. I was like, yeah, that's one. So there was like a free download for it. Obviously, that comes with tags. Producer tags, right, and stuff. So I still downloaded it. And then I recorded something, and then I sent it to the producer, and he was like, yo, this shit's pretty good. And he's like in Tunisia. So
wow.
That's usually how it is. You know, ask anybody, he's like, oh, there's always some 17-year-old kid in like Dubai or Tasmania, and they're just like out of this world, and it's like there's no way you're real. There's no way you're
crazy.
So, but anyway, and so the inspiration, you know, I just really, it had been a really long time since I've rapped and like enjoyed writing rap songs.
Yeah,
but I was just like, you know, relationships happen, and then you get caught up in relationship shit, and it's
right.
You just don't really have a lot of confidence in yourself, and you just don't know what you're doing, you know, you get lost for a second. And really, for just sure. this whole thing was it was to release projections that I felt
Yeah.
Myself, you know, like even, you know, self-projections where I didn't feel good enough or if I felt like I wasn't shit, you know.
And yeah.
And that's really what the first song kind of brings in, was a poem that I wrote during a time I was just like really confused and just wasn't sure like why I wasn't healing fast enough, you know. I kind of wasn't giving myself grace, but I was in that poem was me giving myself grace to the fact that, you know, it's okay to feel frustrated and lost, even, you know, you don't want to be frustrated and lost, you just want to be chill, you know, you want things to be all right. And and then moving forward, Habits was just kind of like the surrender to you know, all right, fuck it, like I'm just gonna be doing this, you know, I'm gonna be going back into shit that I should have been giving up a long time ago no matter what, and then the consequences will find me. And then Right Place Wrong Time was more of a song about, again, that goes back to the projections where it's like, all right, if you think I ain't shit, then I'll just play that part, you know.
Right.
So it plays into victim, villain, and vulnerability, like all in one.
Man.
Project. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot to it, you know, like, I can only say so much.
You know, like, but you definitely poured a lot into it, and I definitely appreciate the creativity and, you know, the expression that you put into it. And I thought it was a really dope project. So I'm glad that, I mean, you know, unfortunate experiences are the things that play a part in, you know, how we create. But, you know, through that, we have beautiful projects. So, like I said, very excited about it. And y'all should definitely go check it out, as I have, and add it to y'all playlist. And you'll be able to check it out because I have that Naturally Underwave Spotlight Artist playlist on Spotify. And y'all can go and check out all the Spotlight artists on there. And Moon Roof Sonata will be in there. All right.
Yeet.
So, you're also dropping visuals for your project Moon Roof Sonata this summer. Can you give us a hint of what's in store for us?
So Sonata and Right Place Wrong Time visuals are on my YouTube right now. You can just follow, subscribe, Uncle Tino. And then last one is Habits. We're dropping that the 28th. Yeah, I say we, but you know, it's just me. But It's a team thing, you know.
Same.
You know, the team doesn't. The team is y'all right now.
Man, you can't. I can't tell you how many people think that it's more than one person that does the podcast for me.
That's okay.
Because I say we all the time, right? It's me and the audience and everyone that tunes in. You know, we all put in on this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I wouldn't be doing this without everybody. So exactly. That's dropping on the 28th. Essentially, you know, Sonata, the visuals for that, I just pulled inspo from Nosferatu, which is, you know, is one of the first visual adaptations of Dracula ever. And it was released in 1922, which I think was very opportune because I started writing this project in 2022, which was the centennial of Nosferatu, and it was very vampire focused, you know.
I
don't know how that came about, but I guess it just felt very creepy and you know, and what's the word, debaucherous, I'm gonna make that up, and
very it's somewhere in the dictionary.
Dastardly. And so and then when I heard the instrumental to Moon to Sonata, the beat was called like No Lies or some shit like that. And I was like, this is like very big and dramatic, and I fuck with all of that. And again, I kind of just really like the idea of, you know, like horror and energy vampire, things like that.
Yeah.
All kind of like the narcissism, it all kind of plays a part, especially with the character that is like Dracula or Count Orlok, you know, like big egotistical male, womanizer male, you know, things like that. And I really wanted to turn this into, I guess, like a movie to me, you know, a little bit. But so, Yeah.
I love how you play with just different ideas, and not only in your music, but just creatively, visually, and things like, and you think of different ways to capture the audience and capture yourself within your projects. And so I'm excited to see it. And I'm gonna go check you out. I'm gonna go check that out on YouTube right now. Not right now, but after.
Yeah. I released all of them. Like, I did different releases on full moons, and it was all planned.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't a coincidence. I planned all of it. However, I will say just a little crazy Easter egg that this freaked me out the other day. You know, sometimes bots will go back and like find a bunch of messages or tweets and like them.
Yeah.
And or responses on Twitter X, and one of these faux followers tweeters liked the tweet that said, "I said don't underestimate my magic." On September 29th, 2022, I released this project September 29th, a year later. Whew. And I didn't even remember tweeting that on that day. So don't underestimate your own magic, y'all. It's real.
Seriously.
You got a fucking plan. You got a passion. Don't underestimate that shit, because it'll
catch
up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. 100%. Yes, yes. When you put that out in the air, it's going to come back. I always say that on the podcast, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Believing yourself is the number one thing, and being authentic and true is definitely the second thing that I've heard so much with independent artists, you know, with giving their opinion on what it takes to kind of just continue this journey. And so, yeah, I'm definitely happy that you're pretty much singing the same tune. You know, we're all here to support each other. So you've collaborated with artists, and you performed at events such as South by Southwest. So how important, I don't know why I said that kind of weird, South by Southwest.
There's an X in there and it kind of throws everybody off.
Right. I wanted to correct that. So how important are these opportunities to independent artists like yourself? And how have you been able to put yourself in the position to do these collaborations and perform?
I would say with South by, it's becoming something that it wasn't before. Like, it's super important to be there. And I was actually talking to a friend about it. And I'm not knocking anybody who ever wants to play South by all means. Like, if you want to get in there and you know you can, get your ass in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, perform. Like, I'm very much, I feel like I've exceeded my music as a performer in a way. Like me making my music and building my discography is cool, but it's not out yet. But like, my performances, I think, are like right here, because I know what I love to see, and I've watched a lot of live music growing up, especially when I was a teenager. I was just at shows all the time.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to perform sees it. If it doesn't feel right and you're just not sure, sometimes it's also good to not listen to your gut, because you need to learn what these negative experiences are like as well.
Right. You know?
But also, that's just, free game. If it don't feel right in the soul, don't do it. You know,
like, that's right. Yeah.
We all get stubborn. We all get eager, and we all want to, get on stage because we want to feel that, you know, we all want to feel that. And, but you know, also explore other avenues of things like that, like go to the panels, go to the conferences, you know. And that's something I haven't done, and this year I didn't want to, in my opinion, I was like, I didn't want to waste time, quote unquote, paying to probably play, you know. And I needed all the money I needed at the time to save for my surgery, so like, I had to put me first for real.
Right.
And then instead, I, you know, was like, let me seize another opportunity, which was the Tiny Desk concert. And I was like, I want to throw my name in the hat, man. And I don't make it, I make it. If not, you know, it's a good look. You know, they can see that, you know, and that's 100% free.
Yeah. Right.
Like, over 6,000 people entered this year. So it's, the competition is super tight. But, you know, I had a lot of fun. The energy that we had when we were filming that was top notch. It was just top tier. It was
super cool.
it was a great fucking time. Yeah, like, and we did, yeah, we did Sonata. So that's up to watch on YouTube as well.
Yeah, yeah, man. I love watching Tiny Desk too.
Yeah, check no, that out. That's all I was watching when I was off, bro. I was just
yeah,
watching,
man. Yeah,
like, desk and like crying, like I want to be there.
But that's super dope. Like, you really manifested that shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's dope as fuck. Definitely gonna check that out, man.
Yeah, for sure. Did all I right. answer the question?
We, let me see. Kind of.
where do I need to sweep up?
I mean, how were you able to kind of? I said put yourself in the position to do these collaborations and perform. I mean, you've collaborated with other artists and things like that too. So,
oh yeah. So
how was that?
I just, again, I stayed present everywhere. Like, I was going to shows. I was talking to people. You know, if there was like, if the artist was at the merch booth, I would go visit them. You know, I would wait and say what's up. And, you know, even bigger artists, you know, like, they would go outside by their bus before they leave. And not to sound like a creep, you know, but everybody fucking did it. All right, man, this is what
I mean. Hey, everyone's story is their story, you know.
You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people do it. Groupies. Yeah, man. Whatever. But I, you know, I would wait and say what's up. You know, I've met a lot of really cool artists that way, and just not even like, hey, this is my music. You know, I don't really do that, because that's when it's, you're drawing a line. You know, you just they just sweated their ass off for an hour and a half. You could just say
right.
So, and I did that, and I, you know, commented, and I would go to shows. You know, I would just show love. That's really how it happened. And then, you know, you show love, and then you put love out, and you just start sharing your music and moving a lot, and, you know, going for different opportunities no matter where you can find them. Again, even if they might not serve you the best in the right way, you're always going to learn something from it.
Yeah,
so that's kind of how, you know, I've been able to and learn to collaborate. You know, is you just put yourself in different spaces, and you just be present, you know, and be yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I ask these different kinds of questions, just so that anyone who happens to tune in and listen to this segment, they can understand and see that the independent journey is different. You know, it's the same in a lot of ways, because, you know, maybe the artist is not getting a lot of support in their hometown, you know, which is something that is a very prevalent theme in the independent artists that I ask questions from. But other than that, you know, it's everyone's story is different. It can be similar, but it's different. And so you take what you will from each person's story, each person's journey, add it to your own. And, you know, you make your own way. So a few more questions here. With so many accomplishments as far as being as well as being involved in community efforts with your city and LGBTQ+, how have you found time to sit back and enjoy your work so far?
I just make time for it. And you know, because I mean, I go to work, and I have quite a few jobs. So I have a serving job in the day, and day night I do mascotting for our Major League Rugby team, which is a secret, you know, whatever.
That's cool.
If you hear this, you know, loose lips, sink ships. But and then I do mascot assisting for the Sugarland baseball team, and I've been doing that since like 2017, 18.
Wow. Okay.
And then I host a karaoke night on Tuesday nights. Oh, it's a weekly thing.
Wow.
My best friends, Marissa, at Sixes and Sevens. So if y'all ever want to come to karaoke, y'all in Houston, come to that. You know,
no.
you know, if you don't, now you do. But, and it does get really busy, you know, like, and when I say it out loud, you know, it's like, oh shit, like, I really need to chill out. But, you know, my muscle is hustling right now. So, to sit back and enjoy, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll just find it on a day that I'm off, you know, and right now it's a Monday, which I think is a great day to have off if you're able to, you know, to just like decompress and, you know, look back and, you know, and just keep looking forward, you know, and even just on a ride to work or whatever, when I, especially the days I don't want to go to fucking work, like, I just say thank you, universe, thank you, God, whoever, you know, you say, you know, and just be grateful, because honestly, that attitude has really brought a lot of these blessings and successes into my life, because not only have I decided to be present for them, but I've decided to be appreciative and, you know, take up the space the way that I'm meant to, you know, like whether that just to be there or to perform or do something for somebody, you know, that's what it's all about, you know?
Just yeah, man. Grateful. Yeah, man. All right. So last two questions I have for you. And then I may have a surprise for you at the end. I don't know. All right. What advice do you have for people wanting to do independent music?
Be patient. Just be patient. Don't try to copy nobody.
Definitely.
Don't let nobody fuck you over.
Yeah, man.
Like, people love to do that. And definitely do not. Just if someone's like, hey, like, come to this or whatever. And then, or let me give you a consultation for $5 or $500 to see if I want to manage you or whatever. Don't fall for no bullshit like that. If somebody's asking you to pay them and you have 3 songs on streaming, maybe more on SoundCloud, but, you know, not to the quality of your, you know, just really evaluate the situation, you know, like, yeah, kind of be your own parent through these things. And, you know, I know we get it gets exciting when somebody recognizes you, but a lot of time these people just see an opportunity to take your fucking money, and you need that.
Yeah,
especially right now. Like, even then, like I told you, I went to this studio for recording for the first time in a year, and that hurts, you know, because I was just kind of getting everything finished, but and then I did the party and all that,
right,
surgery, but, you know, so, but anybody coming up, man, like, just be patient with yourself. It'll come when it's time. Nobody wants to fucking hear that. When it's your time, it is your time. Yeah. You know, don't compare yourself. Keep growing, keep experimenting, keep writing, keep reading, stay educated. And, you know, everyone's like, be consistent, you know, and sometimes the idea of consistent is posting. For others, consistent just means I take 3 hours out of the day to practice my guitar or my drums, bass, instrument of choosing, writing, or listening to something new, or even mixing, you know, like, decide what that discipline is and really set yourself on that. And if you're a motherfucker like me that's all over the place, you really need to learn how to get into a good groove. It doesn't have to be a set routine, but get into a good groove on when you're going to do that, and really just sit your ass down and practice, and don't be afraid to learn, because you're always going to be learning.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All great advice. I appreciate those words, man. Mm-hmm. All right. My last question here, what are some goals you have on your list this year for your own music?
I want to perform in Chicago, LA, or New York.
Dope.
I want to get the fuck out of Houston. Respectfully.
Yeah.
I've just been here for 10 years.
The show.
A long fucking time. But anyway. musically, I definitely want to get at least 2 songs out. And get better with visuals. And what else do I want to do? Yeah, I mean, I just want to sing more. Everybody wants to hear me sing more, and I'm down for that. So,
all right, man. That's dope.
Travel, release, and, you know, get better.
All right. Well, I'm excited for you. I know that all these things that you're saying here will come to fruition. I'm sending all my good vibes, my positive vibes to you. Love and all of that light. And I am going to have a surprise for you. This is called the hot seat. Okay. It's 4 quick questions. It's the first answer that comes to your mind. Okay.
Okay.
Favorite artist?
Isaiah Rashad.
Favorite song currently?
Shit. What's that song? It's by Jordan Ward. Ah, god damn it. Zoomies.
Favorite food?
Favorite food, tacos.
Oh, man. We're going to be so good friends. Favorite memory of your independent journey so far?
Favorite memory of my independent journey? I played at White Oak Music Hall, and I gave a kid a binder for his journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dope, dope. Thank you so much, Uncle Tino. He is the spotlight artist for April 2024. Thank you so much for allowing me to support you and promote you here on Grown Up Podcast. Make sure y'all go and check him out. Of course, all his links will be in the description below. But for the people who don't go to the description below, let them know where they can check you out at. And please, if you'd like to say any final words, any personal shout outs you'd like to give, go ahead and say that as well.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram, really, Uncle Tino. It's right here, screaming at you.
From yes.
Right to left. You can go to X/Twitter is at the Uncle Tino. You can follow me on all streaming at Uncle Tino. And shout out to the homies. Shout yes. out to Cairo in Tunisia. Shout out, like, I would can make a list, but, you know, shout out to everybody who's just been here. Shout out to everybody who donated to my surgery. And
yeah, man.
Shout out everyone fighting the good fight. So.
Yeah, man. Yes. Y'all heard it here on the Grown Up Podcast. Make sure y'all go and check out Uncle Tino. Stay locked in with him. Go and check out his new project that's out right now, Moonroof Sonata. Very excited for that for him and excited for everything else that's coming to him. His links will be in the description, as I said, and it is the Grown Up Podcast. You can go and check me out at grownuppodcast.info. All of the music for the Natural and Away Spotlight Artists are on the Spotify playlist, and go and tap in with me. Go and follow me. I appreciate y'all. It is Uncle Tino here for the Now Spotlight Artist. It's the Grown Up Podcast, and we are out of here.
Yeehaw.
All right, family. Now it's time to say my final goodbyes. I hope y'all enjoyed that interview. Make sure you stay locked in and tap in with Uncle Tino. I appreciate him for allowing me to promote him and for him being the spotlight artist for this month. Make sure you check out his music and, of course, follow him. And please tap in with me and the Grown Up Podcast. Y'all can check me out at grownuppodcast.info, or you can check me out at derrickhollandbusiness.com. Please make sure you tap into the YouTube page. A lot of the things that you heard in this audio interview would make more sense visually. And so, yes, I have finally gotten together some type of visual thing for the Now segment specifically. And so go ahead and head to the YouTube channel at Now Grown Up Podcast, where you can check out this interview visually, the video portion of this interview right now, okay? I appreciate y'all once again for supporting independence, supporting independent music, and supporting me. Thank y'all. Stay subscribed. Stay with those notifications on. Stay safe and be kind. I'll see y'all next month. Let's go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.